So he is a real reindeer.
Of course he's a real reindeer. I don't know what Santa would do without him.
Huh. Okay, thanks, Norman.
You're welcome. I wish we could have gotten together to talk about this more, but the North Pole is super busy this year. People are relying on Santa more and more to help them out with their kids. I'm on wrapping duty right now.
Norman, how are those packages coming?
I'm on it, Santa. Say hi to the Christmas stocking listeners and Lee Cameron.
Hello, Christmas stocking listeners. Hello, Lee. Sorry I have no time to chat. I have to check in on the reindeer and their gear.
Hi, Santa. Okay. Hey, thanks, Norman. I'll let you go do your thing. We'll talk again soon.
Okay, Lee. Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, Norman. That's Norman, Santa's elf, who's been featured on a couple of episodes. He's more of a Santa expert anyway, generally, but he really wanted to talk about Rudolph. Oh, this is the Christmas stocking. You know who I am. So Rudolph is one of Santa's reindeer, and he's clearly not as old as Dasher, Dancer, and the rest of the 8 tiny ones. So how do we hear about him? Turns out his story was written by an advertising copywriter for the Montgomery Ward Company. They were a big department store back in the day. They used to buy and give out coloring books to customers at Christmas, and in 1939, the big bosses asked Robert L. May to write a story they could use to make their own book to save money. They picked Robert because he liked to write kids' stories and limericks. I'll be honest, I don't know how he heard about Rudolph, but I know the story he told is close, more or less. Robert made it a variation on the Ugly Duckling, and he could relate to it because he was teased as a kid too because he'd been a shy little guy. Since Rudolph has a red nose, Robert chose that to be the reason Rudolph had no friends. He'd heard the story, but couldn't quite remember the name. He thought about calling him Rollo or Reginald, but those didn't work for him. And then he remembered Rudolph. The original story was not the song. That came about 12 years later. This was a poem, really, in rhyming couplets, basically using the pattern of "Twas the Night Before Christmas." Robert had a 4-year-old daughter at the time, and he tried it out on her to develop it. She loved it. The big MW brass did not, though. The suits thought the red nose made it sound like Rudolph was a drunk, so Robert May took a friend in the Montgomery Ward Art Department by the name of Denver Gillen to the Lincoln Park Zoo to come up with some sketches of deer. They were so gosh darn cute that the brass gave the go-ahead and they made the booklet. They gave out 2.4 million copies that year, and it was so popular they kept giving it out for 7 years, even through World War II when printing had to be cut back. By the end of 1946, they'd given out around 6 million copies. The Smithsonian has an original copy. I can't find the text of the original story anywhere, although it may be in a Christmas box somewhere. I know I've seen it. The story went that Rudolph lived in a village of reindeer, not at the North Pole, not associated with Santa and the other reindeer. He was made fun of for his nose by the other kids, but his parents loved him, and he was a good kid, responsible, and not down on himself at all. One Christmas Eve, Santa was delivering presents to Rudolph's house and saw the glow from Rudolph's room. The fog was getting thick that night. There had already been accidents and delays, and Santa was worried he wouldn't finish the night. So he asked Rudolph to lead the team. I did find the end of the story on Snopes.com. By you, last night's journey was actually bossed. Without you, I'm certain we'd all have been lost. The real story of Robert May wasn't all sweetness and light, though. His wife died around the time the book was created, and he was deeply in debt from her terminal illness that led up to her death. A copywriter doesn't make a ton of money, you know. Even though he created Rudolph, he didn't own Rudolph. He couldn't make any money from the character. Montgomery Ward owned the copyright, and they didn't give Robert May any royalties. Well, Robert May was a great salesman, or the president of Montgomery Ward at the time, Sewell Avery, was a wonderful man, because somehow Robert persuaded him to turn over the copyright for Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer in January 1947. Maybe Montgomery Ward just didn't want to be in the licensing business. There were a lot of requests coming in. Whatever the reason, Robert May was set for life. Robert printed the booklet commercially for the first time that year, and it's still being sold in some form today. In 1948, a 9-minute Rudolph cartoon was shown in movie theaters and can still be found on TV and DVD. It was the last cartoon ever produced by Max Fleischer, who did the classic Popeye, Betty Boop, and Superman cartoons, and it pretty much followed the original story. The song was written by Johnny Marks, who not so coincidentally was Robert May's brother-in-law. He was a songwriter, and he adapted the story into a song that you may have heard before. Superstar cowboy crooner Gene Autry recorded the song in 1949, and once again Rudolph sold 2 million units, this time records, that first Christmas. It was the second biggest Christmas record ever until the 80s, behind White Christmas, and still sells a ton of records. And of course, there are a ton of other versions, many of which became hits too. By the way, Johnny Marks wrote a bunch of Christmas songs we know, like the adaptation of I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day, Rockin' Around the Christmas Tree, Run Rudolph Run, Have a Holly Jolly Christmas, and all the songs in the Rankin-Bass Rudolph TV show. I think I may have to give the TV show its own episode. There's a lot to say. Have you heard of Olive, the Other Reindeer, the book and TV show? That was inspired by the line in the song, which is often misheard, All of the Other Reindeer. The song is popular in Finland in a translation, and he's in their mythology of Joulupukki, their name for Santa. I hope I got that somewhere close to right. DC Comics published Rudolph annuals in the 50s and early 60s and reprinted stories in the 70s, and actually came up with at least one more in the 70s too. And I have at least one of those issues. They were huge in the Treasury size, almost the size of a tabloid newspaper. There have been other Rudolph books, some with the original text, some adapted from the story, some adapted from the TV special. Oh, and Robert May wrote his own sequels, including Rudolph Shines Again and Rudolph to the Rescue. There was an animated feature in 1998 that was in very limited release before heading to home video. I haven't seen it, but I hear it takes a lot from the TV show but changes the names. The same company did a CGI animated sequel, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer and the Island of Misfit Toys, which actually used the characters from the Rankin-Bass show. I didn't like it. There's more I could talk about, even outside the TV show, but this is going long. Go to MyChristmasStocking.net to learn more about Rudolph and his supposed relatives, like Robbie the Reindeer. I will say that I think Rudolph's legend endures because a lot of us can relate to him, and his is an inspiring story. Don't let the doubters and the haters get you down. Just be who you are the best you can, and you will persevere. You gotta do it for Christmas' sake. This is the Sounds of Blackness in the Christmas Stocking.
Right.
The Sounds of Blackness in the Christmas Stocking. You can find out all the information about the music and more at mychristmasstocking.net. You'll also find links to amazon.com where you can start your shopping, and those will be around all year long. Just click Shop Amazon at the top of mychristmasstocking.net's front page. When you do it, you'll help the Christmas Stocking just a little bit.
Hi, this is Diana, also known as Mick Diana on my Twitter feed, and I just wanted to say Merry Christmas to all my friends and family in Southern California, and also to my family who's not here, my sister Kathy, Sandy, and my brother Harold, who all live back in the Midwest. I miss you a lot. We always used to put up our Christmas tree on Christmas Eve when we were kids. And it's a tradition that's lasted throughout my family, even as we've moved apart. And that's the one great thing about listening to the Christmas Stocking podcast is you're reminded of all those traditions and a few new ones that you might not have known about. So Merry Christmas to all, and thanks for having me on the show.
Thank you, Diana, and thanks for being such an active participant on Twitter and Google+. Diana's been a big supporter of the show. Merry Christmas, Diana. Alan, thank you for your gift to the Christmas Stocking. I read Alan's note a couple of episodes ago. He's from Taiwan, but he's studying in Nova Scotia. Thanks so much, Alan. Merry Christmas again. Alan, click contribute at mychristmasstocking.net to do that. There are other ways to support the Christmas Stocking. Click call me if you have any questions or comments about the Christmas Stocking, or you want to wish somebody Merry Christmas for next year, or you want to share a favorite Christmas memory or ask a question. Anything you want to do, just click call me and my voicemail will connect with you and you can leave whatever message you like. Thanks to everyone who follows the Christmas Stocking on Twitter, at XmasStocking. Feel free to throw ideas around there too. And lots of conversation is still going on at facebook.com/ChristmasStocking. Hello Sharon and James, thanks for being part. I'll try not to get too in your face during the year because I know not everybody likes hearing about Christmas all year long. But every once in a while, if there's an update, you'll see it. Oh, and Google Plus. More and more people are finding us there, too. The orchestra director at Hendrick Hudson High School in Montrose, New York, put me in their circle. I couldn't find the name, so I don't even know if it's a man or a woman. I think it's a man. Oh, and hello, Kenneth. Kenneth also circled us in Google+. Maybe I'll do a hangout during the year. We'll see. All right, that's it before Christmas. I'll have a wrap-up, hopefully before the 12th day of Christmas, but the next episode will be the Summer Music Spectacular. You know, if all goes according to plan. Thank you so much for listening and for all your support this year. You know, I think this has been the best season so far. That's because of you. There are plenty of past episodes to check out if you need more Christmas Stocking. Why don't you browse through it? Either way, I hope you and your family and your friends and even the people you don't like have the happiest and merriest Christmas and the happiest and best New Year possible. I'm Lee Cameron. Merry Christmas from the Christmas Stocking.